looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, welcome into the Baseball Reporters. No Red Sox team tonight. They're off. The Houston Astros, however, come into Fenway Park this weekend in a significant series, I would say, despite where the Red Sox are in the standings in the American League East. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, can we open up the phone lines right away? Let's do that right out of the gate. Jim Murray is alongside, as always. I want to ask a very simple, basic, open-ended question to start the show. Okay, very simple and basic. Because we are where we are here with the Red Sox. They have 21 games left. They are 97 and I don't even know what the number is. What is it, Murray? 97 and 43 or something like that. Is that what the hell they are? Like, I can't even keep track anymore. They're winning games so rapidly. 97 and 44. 97 and 44. The Red Sox have 21 games left in the season. They are 9.5 up on the Yankees. And the Yankee, the 78 truthers out there who still think that there's some sort of epic collapse coming and that the Yankees are going to catch them, I'd hope by now you've put that in your pipe and smoked it because it's over. The division's been over for a long time. Don't delude yourself. We had a guy call the program today saying he's still worried about the Yankees, which I can't believe. But my question to you is, as the Red Sox go down the stretch here, and it's basically 3 weeks now, okay, 21 games, 3 weeks to go. How do you want Alex Cora to manage this thing? And what is the real objective here in the month of September? I'm not talking about October yet. I'm talking about September. What do you want to see the Red Sox do and accomplish in the month of September? I want to know from you because I know what my objectives are. I know what I want them to accomplish. Frankly, I think they've already done it. Okay, but we'll get to the particulars in a minute. But again, so my question to you as a Red Sox follower, because we did get the sense in the last 24 hours, we actually had a call last night that personally I found unfathomable, that there was a fan, a listener, who was, after the win yesterday, was still griping about the fact that Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez were not in the lineup, which I find astonishing. And I think the Red Sox could have blown that game yesterday or just lost it in a rout, which they were on the way to do, and still been perfectly fine today because, as we saw last night, the Yankees are incapable of catching you right now. The Yankees got their asses kicked by the Oakland A's last night. They lose. They weren't going to pick up ground even if you lost. And for the Red Sox to blow this thing now, they have 21 games left. Let's say they were to go 9-12. Is that 21, Murray?
Don't make me do math. Okay. On the fly.
If they were to win 9 games out of their remaining 21, they would still finish with 106 victories. Okay? The Yankees would have to go 19 and like 5 to catch you. And I don't think the Yankees are doing that. While they race, Luis Severino has a 6.1 ERA in the last 2 months. While Gary Sanchez can't catch a cold, I don't think any of that is going to happen. So the question then becomes, really, what is the objective here in September? What do you want to see them do? Now, this series with the Astros over the weekend, I'd like to see them play well against Houston. Because I still think Houston is the best team in the league. I think that the road to the World Series goes through Houston. And I want to see the Red Sox go nose-to-nose with the Astros on their own turf and put them in their place just the way they put the Yankees in their place. Okay, when I say in their place, you know what I mean. Show that an elite team can come in here and you can slap them silly upside the head and plant their asses right in the seats. I would love to see that this weekend. It would give me a little more confidence going into the month of October. But in terms of how I want to see the Red Sox handle September, if you are really, really going to bitch about the fact that Alex Cora did not plead J.D. Martinez yesterday, then let me say, plain and simple, you don't get it. You don't get it.
Or you're just greedy and clamoring for that goofy, you know, triple-digit win total at the end of the year. It's just, you're right, you don't get it.
In which case, you don't get it.
You're cheering for the wrong thing.
I just think that is utterly stupid. Murray, I actually think there's a chance. Do you realize, by the way, that the Yankees have the second best record in baseball?
No, I know. It's been that way for a while.
So the Yankees, who look like they can't get out of their own way,
right,
are still the second best record in baseball. Now, Houston is now tied with them. Up until last night, the Yankees were actually a game ahead of the Astros. But the point being, you have this huge gap on everybody in the field. Everyone. No one is going to catch you. You are 9 up in the loss column over New York and Houston. You are 9.5 up on the Yankees overall. Nobody's going to catch you. Okay, the Red Sox really could try to line up out there over the balance of the season, akin to what they put out there yesterday. And because of the dreadful competition and everything else, I still think they win the division going away. So what I would like to see them accomplish this September is obvious. You have a chance here in October to make real noise. And you now have the greatest luxury there is in a long baseball season. And you know what that is? To coast down the stretch. This is what the Red Sox used to do in September when Terry Francona was the manager and Theo Epstein was the GM in the good years. Not at the end, but in the good years. When they were so comfortably ahead of the field in the final 3 or 4 weeks that Francona would rest guys like Hideki Okajima because he knew that winning the division wasn't any different than winning the wild card. Back then, it didn't matter. You didn't have play-in game. So you know what the Red Sox did? They got their house in order. Francona got his pitching rested. He got whatever rest he needed for his positional guys to nurse whatever bumps and bruises they had, to address whatever mental fatigue and grind factor there was, to get them all refreshed. And the right way to say it, he used September to recharge the roster. That's what he used it for. He used it to recharge the roster. So if you want to celebrate the Red Sox regular season, here's what you should celebrate. That they were so damn good in the first 5 months that they made the last month irrelevant. And that as a result, they could just get themselves ready for the games that matter. So you want to start giving me references to teams that are hot in September? You have to play well going into the playoffs. I'll give you references that'll prove just the opposite. And in fact, we'll do that when we come back. Playing well in September isn't as important as you think it is. What's important is to get your house in order, to get your pitching staff intact, to get your roster rested and ready. Because the last 2 years, you won 93 games, and maybe you didn't officially clinch until the last week, the last 10 days. And so there was still a little bit of a grind factor there. This team's going to clinch with 2 weeks to go. It's going to clinch a playoff spot maybe by the end of the weekend. It'll clinch the division, I bet, by sometime in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, which is really unbelievable when you think about it, that in a 162-game season, we could already be talking about that. That on September 6th, we're saying that the Red Sox need to start nursing themselves and getting themselves ready for October because they're that far and ahead. I'm telling you, it's like Secretariat in the Belmont. For crying out loud, winning by 38 lengths or whatever the number was. And some of you are pissed off because J.D. Martinez didn't play yesterday? Seriously, and I say this without hyperbole, but do you get it? Do you understand what's really important? Because if you're really worried about getting J.D. Martinez in the lineup yesterday, I think that's kind of stupid. 617-779-0985. And those teams down the stretch that failed and won. I'll give you two examples of those when we come back. We'll do that and take your calls next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back again. I mean, to me, the objectives in the month of September to me are clear. And it's rare to be in a spot like this. Do not underestimate that part of it. For the Red Sox to be in this position, and I say this with all the sincerity in my heart, for the Red Sox to be in this position where they can manage it down the stretch, the way that they are going to manage it is an unbelievable and rare luxury in Major League Baseball. The second place team in their division has the second best record in the game. And the Red Sox can coast down the stretch because they took care of business in the first five months. And there are people mad that JD Martinez didn't play yesterday. I mean, to me, that is just absolutely preposterous. Chris is in West Roxbury. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, Tony, I totally agree with you that September right now is all about rest. Get the guys the rest they need. The only thing I really want to see out of them is I still want to see consistent bullpen work. They need to get that together. And then a question I have for you, if that final series with the Yankees, do you think there's a chance that if they sweep the Yankees, they knock them out of home field advantage for that wild card game and they give it to Oakland, do you think they go for that?
No, Chris, I don't think that they would go out of their way to do that. No, because I think that ultimately home field and base doesn't matter a whole hell of a lot. I mean, it does a little bit. Don't get me wrong. It matters a little bit. But I also think it's more about lining up your pitching, which is why. And again, you know what? The term I'm going to use, because I think this is the better way to say it. The better way to say it is use September not to rest, to recharge your roster, however you want to do that. And however you want to define it, recharge it. And if that means getting relievers back on the beam and focused and throwing well, then you recharge them. You give them a little bit of rest, and you get them back in a rhythm, and you get them flowing again. Okay, you recharge that bullpen. You recharge your positional players, some of whom need a mental break. And the next person that calls me up and tells me that they don't need physical rest because it's baseball, it's got nothing to do with the physical rest. Here's what I would tell you. Okay, and I'm not telling you they're digging ditches. I've lived it, and I know. When you get to this stage of the year, and you go to the ballpark every day for 8 straight months, you're ready to lose your mind. You are ready to lose your freaking mind. I'm not telling you that they're underpaid. I'm not saying, boo-hoo-hoo. I'm not giving you any of that. I'm just telling you that the monotony of the routine, going to the ballpark every day for 8 months, will drive you batty and you will lose your mind.
I can't even imagine what that grind is like. Even for when you were on the beat. I mean, at the end of it, yeah, I can completely understand that. You probably want to pull your hair out.
So why
your head is the way it is.
So this is why Cora gives him the days off, Murray. This is why he does it. He says to J.D. Martinez, look, we've been going at it now from the time you showed up in mid-February or March 1 or whatever it was that he showed up. It's been 6.5 months now. Okay, and we don't want the season to end on September 30th or October 1 or whatever it is, like everyone else does. We actually want to play an additional month on top of that. So you know what? I'm going to give you Wednesday off because your last game will have been on Tuesday night. So you'll get Wednesday off, the whole team's off on Thursday, and then we're not playing until Friday night. So you go from Tuesday night to Friday night without even having to think about baseball. I don't want you to think about it. It wouldn't shock me if in some of these cases, when he gives these guys days off, he sends some of them home while the game's going on. Like they go and get their own flights and they go wherever they want. Not unprecedented. Okay, not unprecedented.
Well, I want to see more of an extended rest for some of the starters, too. I mean, you look at the workload that Porcello's had this year and even over the last 3 years where he's, like, I think over 600 innings. Like, you know, some extended rest for them, too. That will benefit them come the postseason.
And he's another one that needs to be recharged. Now, in the case of Chris Sale, recharging means something else. It means getting Sale back into a rhythm, back into a flow, so that he's operating at peak efficiency in October. I want to see that, too. It's a case-by-case basis. It's a different need for different players. But J.D. Martinez, I think J.D. Martinez, I read this in Peter Abraham today, I think, is the only guy who has played over 130 games. So he doesn't deserve an extra day, especially a guy who's broken down a little over the last couple of years. Andrew's in Lowell. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, I 100% agree with you guys. I believe that they should more or less, you know, rest, whether it be mentally or physically. I mean, depending on with whether someone's nursing, you know, injury or just something that's not just right. And also, do you think that something that kind of taints or messes with people's opinions is like all the fantasy people out there these days, where compared to back, you know, when, you know, the curse, reverse the curse, yeah, you know, there wasn't as many people like, oh my goodness, my fantasy numbers.
So Andrew, I'll tell you what, it's interesting that you brought that up. I don't rule that out. In fact, Cora made a comment two nights ago before we put that lineup out there yesterday that the fantasy people are going to be really pissed off. I don't know if you saw that comment.
No, I didn't.
He said, wait till you see the lineup tomorrow. The fantasy players are really going to hate it.
But the caller's right, though. That absolutely plays into it. Some people
mention
about that. Oh, screw.
No, especially these people that play the week-to-week fantasy where every week, you know, is a different matchup. So that all of a sudden J.D. Martinez has one fewer game and they have an off day on Thursday. And now what? Now you're screwing me out of 2 days of J.D. Martinez when I'm trying to advance in the playoffs?
Wah, I have no sympathy for
that. I mean, you're getting some of that. Now, look, Alex Spear of the Globe was on a podcast with Buster Olney of ESPN. I'm going to ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to grab this. And we may end up starting and stopping this. But Olney asked Alex Spear of the Globe about how Cora is going to handle the roster here down the stretch. And here's the exchange.
You know, there's been a conversation about what the Red Sox could accomplish with regular season wins. It really does feel like the manager, Alex Cora, has his plan and he's sticking to it. He's going to make sure that when the Red Sox get to October, his guys are going to be rested.
Yeah, he's been very consistent on this, honestly, since spring training, saying that, you know, that he's managing for a 7 month season and that he recognizes that it's important to have guys able to play at their peak, through the final days of the playoffs, not just the regular season. He referenced last year when the Astros, for whom Cora was then the bench coach, came into Boston, and he said that the goal of the Astros was to just keep pushing the Red Sox, a team that was kind of, you know, running on fumes as they were trying to hold off the Yankees in the American League East, trying to get them to burn everyone in their starting rotation as much as they could before the start of the postseason. So he recognizes that there is a, you know, that what happens in September, the freshness of players as they emerge from September has an impact on how they're able to perform in October.
Jimmy, let's stop it right there. Okay, again, the freshness in September impacts how they play in October, not how they play in September. The freshness factor. So let me give you a couple of examples. Okay, one more notable than the other. But the 2006 Cardinals, they sucked down the stretch. They went 3-8. I think they lost their final seven games of the year. Okay, or something like that. Something close to it. They lost seven in a row, actually. And then I think they won one, lost one, and won two. So something like that. Okay? But the Cardinals could lose, lost all those games in part because they could. So the final margin, the final win total is actually a little deceiving. They just used that stretch to kind of coast and get everybody ready to go. They won the World Series. 83 wins, I think they had that year. 83-79. Might have been 82-80. But whatever it was absurdly low. They were in a bad division, and this is part of the reason why you should also fear the Indians. Because the Indians have the same advantage you do here in the month of September, in that they can really manage and massage the roster, recharge it, and get the team ready, and their manager knows it. Because Francona's lived it. And I've witnessed it firsthand. I had this discussion with Terry Francona in 07. I'll share you details of that, too, when we come back. But beyond that, the 2000 Yankees, and yes, that was a team that had already won three titles in 4 years. So it was a veteran team that knew what it takes to win. Even so, do you know what the Yankees' record was down the stretch in the final days of 2000? They ended the year by losing seven in a row. They were 2-13 in their last 15 games. In fact, the Red Sox almost caught them in the final week of the year because the Yankees were losing with such regularity. And then you know what happened? The playoffs started, and the veteran Yankees, who recharged in September when their lead was huge, they went 11-5 and won the World Series. They're fourth in 5 years. Now, this team doesn't have that pedigree. This team doesn't have the titles under its belt, and so there are variables there. I admit that. But the biggest thing in September is to recharge. It's not to get hot and run yourself into the ground. Now, you can give me examples of teams that have done that, and good for you. I'm just telling you that it can go the other way, too, and the Red Sox are in a position now where they can do it. And Cora knows it. Okay, I'll share with you that I'll never forget it, that conversation I had with Terry Francona in Toronto in 2007 about how he managed that team down the stretch, because I think Cora learned from it. And surprisingly, I thought Red Sox fans learned from it. But clearly you didn't.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So I want to take a couple of calls here, and then I want to try to explain to you exactly to me how the thought process should work for Alex Cora during the month of September. Tim is in Dedham. Tim wants to talk about the bullpen matchups, et cetera, in September. What do you got?
How you doing, Matt? You asked the question, what should they do, and then you answered it perfectly. So all of that supersedes more important than what I'm about to say. But I would love to see someone in their organization. Basically, I think Embry, Kelly, and Workman, they're all kind of interchangeable pieces. I'd love to see someone in their organization spend 40 hours a week and scout against every opponent which pitcher is the best matchup for the middle of the Houston lineup, the middle of the Oakland lineup. So that way you're just fine-tuning all of the matchups.
So, Tim, listen, they're doing that. They're doing that. They have people on those teams. And Cora, again, has first-hand knowledge of the Astros, so he knows what will get those guys out. Whether or not the question with those guys is not the knowledge. Because I think overall, the Red Sox are pretty good at this, or they've been pretty good at it. And frankly, I think Cora is really good at it. And so apparently Ron Renicki's really good at it. How many times this year? It happened in a couple of games, remember, where they detected something in the pitcher on the mound and took off and were stealing bases like crazy? One of them was against the Orioles. The other one was against the Yankees, I think, in that series opener. Remember when they fell behind and they ended up winning the game 15-7? And they tapped into something there with the Yankees where they embarrassed them. So, look, I think the Red Sox overall are pretty good at that. And if you look at this team this year, the way they've produced, look at the change in Bogarts. Betts has gone vertical again. You know, because Betts came back to earth last year a little bit. I'm not saying he had a bad year. But now he looks like a Willie Mays. J.D. Martinez has had a profound impact, too, so I don't want to minimize that. But in terms of the scouting and the knowledge, as it pertains to the bullpen now, I think the Red Sox are on top of it. I have a reasonable level of confidence in Lavangi and Cora and Renicki and the scouting department. I think that they're on it. What I worry about with those guys is the ability to execute, because they're all over the place in the strike zone. That and resting those guys in the bullpen, I'm not sure that that's going to matter. Because with those guys, look at their history. Their whole careers, they've been guys who can't throw strikes. It's not like you look at them and say, well, they were throwing strikes early in the year and now they're fading. I know Cora's trying to peddle some of that. But the reality is that every year they've been in the big leagues, those guys have had difficulty throwing strikes consistently. Ever since they've been in the big leagues. So to me, that's not a fatigue thing. David's in Newton. David, go.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I am looking forward to my favorite game of the year, where they have a scrimmage in those few days off between the end of the regular season and the first round of the playoffs. I went in 2013. I thought it was the coolest thing ever that they had to stay fresh and play each other for a few innings. And it's great. Who cares about the wins? Let's be fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah, David, the scrimmage thing, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And honestly, the wins obviously matter, but I'm saying that you're in a unique position here in the month of September where you can get yourself totally recharged. Okay, totally recharged. I do see a couple of you on the line still, 617-779-0985. We do have an open line or two. So before I get back to the phones, let me just jump back to 07. Okay, because to me, this is sort of where I really started to crystallize for me, and Terry Francona had to hit me over the head with it. Murray and Jimmy Stewart. Do you remember Hideki Okajima, the left-handed reliever who was a setup man for Papelbon?
Surely.
Do you remember 100%. Him?
Yeah.
Okay. Okajima was a guy that the Red Sox signed as a free agent from Japan.
He was supposed to be the caddy for Daisuke Matsuzaka.
Okay. And when he came here, Okajima was 30, 31 years old. It's not like he was a 25-year-old kid. And honestly, they didn't know what to expect. They thought Okajima could be a serviceable reliever. He turned out to be way better than they thought. To the point where they then began using Okajima as the primary setup man for Papelbon. Okay, Okajima that year made 66 appearances and finished with a 2.22 ERA. 69 innings, 50 hits, 5-0, and just 17 walks, an average of 2.2 per 9 innings. Okay, Okajima was really good for that team that year. But the Red Sox were worried all year long about his ability to hold up because the major league season is longer than the season in Japan. And then you know what happened? Starting on August 30th, right around now, all of a sudden, Hideki Okajima started having problems. Okay, and he started having big problems where he was giving up multiple runs in outings on a regular basis. What would qualify as a regular basis. So over a span of about 2 weeks, a little bit more, 16 days, Okajima pitched in 7 games. He had an ERA of 15.19. And he allowed 10 hits, 9 runs, 3 homers, and 2 walks, and he hit a batter in 5 1/3 innings. It was like he completely lost it. 7 games, he completely lost it. From August 30th to September 14th, his ERA going into that stretch, by the way, for the year, was 1.17. During that span, it basically doubled. And the Red Sox were within striking distance of the Yankees for the division. And you know what Francona did? He shut down Okajima for 2 weeks. I'll never forget it. The Red Sox went into Toronto during a stretch there, and they got swept. They lost 4 games in a row, I think, at one stage. And I remember people started to panic that the club was going bad, that the bullpen was being taxed, and that why isn't Okajima pitching? And I went into Francona's office, and I'm talking a little out of school here, but given that it was 11 years ago, I think I'm okay saying it.
You are.
Statute of limitations is up, Mass. Go.
Okay, so Theo Epstein was in what? His 4th or 5th year as a GM at one point, and I said something to Francona to the effect of, you know, how you holding up? He said, well, I'm fine. The GM's losing his mind. It's starting to wear me out, but I'm fine. And I said, well, you know, he is kind of young. I said, although I forget that Theo's really not that much different from my age. I said that to Francona. And Francona said to me, yeah, but you're a parent. Those are big years. Developmentally, those are big years. And I said, what is this about? And he said, yeah, just, you know, overall. And then we started talking about Okajima. And I said, what about the division? And Francona said, I don't care about the division. We don't care about the division. It's more important to get our pitching healthy and set up and rested. It is way more important. Now, remember at that time that there was no play-in game. Finishing as the wild card meant you were the 4th team in the playoffs, and you opened on the road, but there was no penalty. You got to throw your best guy in game 1, and you set your team up, and you were ready to go. And again, the home-road thing in baseball can be overrated in the playoffs. If you have good pitching, you can win on the road. And Josh Beckett, by the way, ended up proving that in Game 5 of the LCS at Cleveland. The Red Sox could have pitched him in Game 4. They chose not to. They got him rested for Game 5. They went out and won. And then they kicked the crap out of the Indians at Fenway Park. And they went to the World Series and swept the Rockies. They won their final 7 games of the postseason that year. But Francona said at that time, and I'll never forget it, we got to get him right. We got to get him right. And you know what happened after that? Okajima pitched an inning on September 27th. 13 days off he had. 13 days off. Pitched a scoreless inning on the 27th. He pitched a scoreless inning on the 29th. And then in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs, Okajima pitched combined, and I'll get you the exact numbers. I had them here in front of me a second ago. A combined 7 1/3 innings, 5 hits, no runs, and the Red Sox went to the World. No, he didn't have a great World Series, but it didn't matter because they kicked the crap out of the Rockies. He still got 2 good rounds out of him because he didn't force the issue in the month of September, even though some fans were clamoring for the division. Now, Jimmy, do you remember, was Cora on that team in 07?
I thought he was on the 08 team.
Okay, so like I don't remember if Cora was on that in 07 or not. Like
yeah, he was.
He was. Okay, so Cora was there. Cora knows. Cora's been part of winning teams, and now he was with the Astros last year.
Of course, Pedroia won the Rookie of the Year. That's why I forgot.
He was in 08. He was in the 08. In 08, he was the MVP. Oh, 07, he was the Rookie of the Year. Correct. So all I'm telling you is that again, I've seen the rationale of managers, and we all know the influence of Terry Francona on Alex Cora. But Theo Epstein was starting to lose it a little, and Francona kept his cool and he kept his eye on the ball. Ryan's in Andover. What do you got?
Hey, Naz, I love the show, man. Just that recap's just another reason why. You're the man. Have you noticed that every September, at least one team has a big fight in their clubhouse, or in the case of Washington, Papelbon choking Hopper in the dugout? I couldn't agree more. Give these guys a rest, not only physically, mentally, and it can only help them stay fresh.
Yeah, so listen, again, I think the big thing is the mental thing, really. John's in a car. John, quickly.
Hey, Tony. So, quick question. So, you're basically saying that those relievers, that three-headed monsters cover your eyes when they're in there, that they simply can't throw strikes. And I'm wondering if it's...
John, I got to let you go because the call's absolutely awful. And the bottom line is I don't believe those guys can throw strikes under pressure. Tom's in Northbridge. Tom, go.
Hey, Tony. Do you know who has the best road record in the majors?
Yes, the Red Sox, I think.
No, I think it's Houston Astros.
Okay, so I'll look it up. Where are the Red Sox? Second?
Probably. I mean, you'd think with that great record that they'd also have the best road record, but it's kind of scary that Houston has this tremendous road record.
Does that scare you?
It definitely scares me going into the playoffs.
Okay, so what I would tell you is that I look it up. The Red Sox are 49 and 26 on the road, and the Astros are 47 and 21. So, yes, they've been a little bit better than you. Have the Red Sox been bad? And the other thing is, at the end of the day, I actually think the Astros are a better team. I told you, if you're asking me today, I'm picking the Astros to win the World Series. I think Houston's loaded. And again, in terms of teams that turn it on and get rested and focused, Houston blew the field away in the first half last year. They were 60 and 26 or 60 and 28, something like that at the All-Star break. They dusted everybody. Then they coasted, and then it came time to play again, and they turned it up because they're so good, and they were ready and focused and recharged that they dusted the field. Are the Red Sox that team? I don't know. I think they're going to have a hard time getting by the Astros. But the Astros didn't go balls to the wall all year long. Don't delude yourself. Get yourself ready to go in October. You're going to need it.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5.